Welcome, everybody. Instead of the usual panel show where we talk about Beyonce or what Justin Bieber did on stage or whatever it is in the pop culture news that we discuss week by week, we're doing something a little different today. And I'm really excited to have photographer Lynn Goldsmith here. And the official bio says, Lynn has captured iconic images of many celebrities and figures over the past 50 years, including Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Michelle Obama, Andy Warhol, Sting, Bruce Springsteen, Bryan Adams. It goes on and on. I would say it would probably be easier to list the people you haven't photographed than it is to list everyone that you have photographed. I can tell you that I have been staring at your album covers and your photographs for years. Patti Smith's Easter album, that photograph is iconic and beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, and so many, Chic Your Booty, Frank Zappa in that famous photograph. There's so many, and we're going to talk about as many of them as we possibly can. But welcome.
Well, thank you, and I'm really happy that you are so well educated in Lynn Goldsmith.
In the ways of Lynn Goldsmith.
Yes, that's a real honor. Thank you.
Well, we should also say that you are hosting an exclusive exhibit of your photographs at the Toronto Liss Gallery at 112 Cumberland Street in Toronto. That's in Yorkville. How long does it run?
It runs until November 12th, and I'll be there tomorrow night from, I believe it's from 6 to 9.
Great. And so you've got...
So it's actually a short show in terms of it only being there till the 12th. And
you know why? Because everyone's going to buy him up
in the first couple of days anyway.
But let's go back. Let's go way, way back. I want to talk about college. I want to, because you didn't study photography. Your dad was kind of an amateur photographer, from what I understand, and we'll get to that in a sec. But what did you think you were going to do with your life?
I believed in all. That's a good question, and I think I thought I'd either be an actress, an inventor, or I don't know.
An astronaut?
No, more like a cowgirl.
Really?
Yeah, because of Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring. You know, when you're little, you fall in love with Howdy Doody.
Yep.
And I actually thought I looked like him, so it was safer for me to identify with Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring than with Howdy Doody.
And so by the time you get to college then, what happens? Because you've been playing music. You were in bands.
Yes. I had when I was 14, we moved from Detroit to Miami Beach, and I used to sing in coffee houses in Coral Gables, and I wrote songs. But I never really thought that I would grow up to be, quote-unquote, in show business.
Right.
Because my grandfather had always said, show business, hooey, and a little spit would come out of his mouth. And I would say, Grandpa, why do you feel this way about them? And he would say, they're terrible people. And, you know, he was right. He definitely was right. But the fact is that it's a whole lot of fun, even if there's some terrible people. And pretty much that's true in any area of life.
Do you remember the songs you wrote? Were they folk songs? Is that what we're talking about
here? Walk right in, set right down. Yeah.
And the songs that you wrote, were they kind of, did they sound like that? Or what were you looking to at that moment?
I went through various stages because when I was very little and lived in Detroit, and my parents were divorced at a very early age, which was unusual.
Yeah.
I was four, and at that time, my mother had what I thought was a sacred a place in her room where she played records.
Wow.
And so I had, you know, I would spend time with my mom, and you had to handle those 78 RPM and 33 and a third.
Well, and the 78s were brittle too, right? So you
yeah.
had to be fairly careful
and
with
those. And
before
that, yeah. there was a 30, I think it was 33 and a third,
yeah.
my grandparents' records. So that was a very special time. And then along came the transistor radio, and my dad bought me a turquoise one.
Wow.
And at that time, there were all these amazing groups in Detroit, the Marvelettes, a lot of music that just it soothed me.
Yeah.
And I would fall asleep with my transistor radio So I think that was part of the connection to music and the fact that it represented some kind of representation of love.
And your dad was an amateur photographer. Photographs and that sort of thing in the house, right?
A serious amateur because he had a real dark room.
Right.
And they were divorced, so it was in his house, and my uncle, his brother. So I would spend time on weekends with my dad in the dark room, sitting on a little stool. And as you see the image come up in the tray, nowadays young people who create images have no idea what a dark room is necessarily.
Right.
And the magic.
And how finicky they were, too.
Yeah, but there was a magical moment because it was just this piece of paper that you put in what appeared to be water, and then like an image came up. And if that image was in fact a photograph that he had taken of me, then I really thought that was magic. So it's always been a connection for me that I knew no matter what I did in life, I would always make pictures.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, last night I saw a movie called Loving. And in this movie, Life magazine sends a photographer played by Michael Shannon to take photographs of a couple that are having some troubles. I'm not giving away the plot of the story. But in it, he is trying to snap photographs when he thinks that they're not looking because he wants to get a natural kind of thing. And I was thinking, wow, today this would be such a different thing because we know exactly what the picture looks like the second we take it. Here he was sort of guessing. And that's part of the skill of it, maybe.
There is a skill because, you know, even when I do selfies and I like to think I am the inventor of the selfie stick. no, I am.
Really?
Yeah, I patented it in like 2005.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, and so people always wonder how I can hold it up or do something and what I'm going to get. But I know what lens it is and what I'm going to see within that frame and how high or how low. So the practice of looking through a viewfinder and looking not at the center of a picture but at the corners of it.
Right.
You know, you're looking at the full frame. I believe, you know, it's not only increased my experience of what life is because I don't just look to the center. I look to the edges.
Right.
And it's also saved my life because I ride a bicycle everywhere in New York City. And so I'm very used to kind of having this peripheral vision that most normal people don't have. And I believe that, you know, that experience of having done it for so long is part of what that life photographer in Loving captured. He knew what he would get. But if you remember in the film, in fact, what he did when he first came in was he bonded.
That's right.
By sharing an experience of knowing how to, you know, do something with the engine of the car.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So there was really the making of the picture wasn't a matter of just quote unquote snapping at a particular moment. The making of a picture was creating an environment where a person who was incredibly distrusting would be open enough to let this new person in their life be like a fly on the wall. And what he was able to do, which I hope I've been able to do with some of my photographs that you can see at the List Gallery, is to become the trusted fly on the wall. There's portraiture where you do a lot of research and think about what you're going to do for the limited period of time that you have the individual or group in front of you. And then there are pictures that you want to go and create. And that's why the National Geographic, I think, has such a powerful hold on not just America where they're located, but the rest of the world. In terms of people feeling like they're actually part of something. So in that movie, Loving, which I guess now of you, all of you have to go see.
It's great. Yeah.
And it's a true story about a couple named the Loving.
The Loving couple. And they were an interracial couple in Virginia in 1958. And their marriage was declared illegal. And it's,
well, it's not just that. What's surprising to people is that in the United States of America, where supposedly equality is implicit, that up until 1968, due to this Loving case, it was illegal in 13 states for interracial marriage to take place.
And the lovely thing about this movie, we've only got a minute left in this segment.
And we're only going to talk about this movie.
But we're not always going to talk about it. But the lovely thing about this movie is that it's called Loving. The last name of the couple is Loving, and it's about love. It's not about outrage. It's not about people being angry and furious. There's hatred.
No, it's about love.
But it's about love, and that's what sold me on it. That and the performances. But we'll talk about that, you know, another time. I'm speaking with Lynn Goldsmith. You can see an exhibition of her legendary photographs at the Liss Gallery in Toronto at 112 Cumberland Street in Toronto, and the exhibit is running until November 12th. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're not going to talk about the movie Loving anymore. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jim Osterberg, a.k.a. Iggy Pop, who was an old friend of yours from college. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about taking some of the most famous pictures in rock and roll. We're going to talk about the three-song rule in concerts, which I think is nonsense, and see how you feel about it and how you make people feel comfortable. We've touched on this a little bit, but how you make them feel comfortable enough to be able to snap photographs of them that aren't just portraits, but actually reveal something about them. Anyone can take a picture of a person. Your pictures actually reveal something about the person. When we come back with Lynn Goldsmith, we'll get to all of that, I hope. Stay with us.